And this morning's reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 19 to 27. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just like Caroline last week, I also haven't had the time to prepare any decent jokes. I've had rather a busy week. So I'm going to just tell you one verse of some of you have heard it before. There is a poem based on the Old Testament, and I might sing it to you at the next cabaret, but one verse goes like this. I will not sing it, I'll just say it. Moses was a prophet, you've heard of him, I think. The children in the wilderness were crying for a drink. He ups with his divining rod and gives a rock a smite, and out poured a gallon of Buchanan's Black and White. There's about another 20 verses, but I won't go through them all. This morning, we heard a story about the Israelites' journey in the wilderness. It's easy to read the story without really grasping what the experience was like for them. But if we put ourselves in their place, we might start to understand how this story comes into play in our own lives. So let's picture what the experience would have been like for just one of the Israelites. So he's now in a desert. He's just finished crossing a great sea that was parted before his people so that they could walk through on dry land. And the Egyptians, who since he was born have beaten him, chained him up, forced him into labour, they were completely swallowed up by the sea. So Moses and Aaron's sister Miriam have just finished singing a song to Jehovah, his God, who has the power to do miracles unheard of by Egypt's magicians. He is going to a new land where he will be free, a land flowing with milk and honey. But now it has been 3 days since he had anything to drink. He is close to fainting. His muscles are cramped from lack of water. He knows he cannot go on like this for much longer. His body is going to collapse. And then he sees it up ahead. Water! There's a surge of bodies as he and all of his thousands of companions rush towards the water. He reaches the water. He leans down to take a drink and then spits it out. It's bitter. It's undrinkable. Moses is faced with a difficult situation in this desert, and instead of protesting, he prays. That's what we should do. When we are in pain, we must pray. And God answers Moses by showing him a simple piece of wood. Moses takes the wood and throws it into the water, and the water immediately becomes sweet and drinkable. God then initiates a test and tells them in verse 26, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Here we see the Lord revealed as Jehovah Rapha. In the midst of their bitterness and hurt, God reveals himself as their healer. The word Rapha is used some 60 times in the Old Testament and means to restore, to heal, or to cure, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes we are in need of healing in all three areas at the same time, like David was in Psalm 6, verses 2 to 3. Emotional, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint." Physical, "O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony." Spiritual, "My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long?" God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha when we are in need of emotional healing. The Lord heals emotional hurt and broken hearts. Psalm 147, verse 3, "He heals up the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Whatever pain we are carrying around, we need to hand it to the healer. Physical healing. Many try to process the pain and discouragement that comes from physical disabilities. Maybe it is personal pain, or maybe we are devastated by the news about a family member or a friend. So at times like this, we need to ask God to do his healing work in our lives. The Bible is full of examples of God's healing touch. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, we read that Hezekiah became very ill and about to die. And as a result of intense intercession, he was healed and his life was even extended. And in the Gospels, we see that Jesus spent a surprising amount of time healing people. And then spiritual healing. This is by far the most important of the three realms of healing. The Lord sees that we are spiritually sick, and he provides healing and wholeness through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Our diagnosis is bad, and our prognosis is terminal. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 records that incurable condition of the human heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We are sinners who have been inflicted with the disease of death and destruction, and we are in desperate need of a new heart. Early in his ministry, Jesus got up in the synagogue one day and quoted from the book of Isaiah, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed." Once we are set free spiritually, Jesus can break every other bondage we are under, including addictions and deep-seated sin patterns. And while it is certainly true that Jesus healed a lot of people physically, he was always more interested in curing our sin problem. Do you remember what Jesus said to John the Baptist when he wanted to know if he was really the Messiah? Here are the words from Matthew 11, verse 5. "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor." The pervasiveness of sin in our souls is pictured very vividly in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness. only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Our depravity is total, affecting every part of our lives. However, verse 18 provides the good news, showing the cleansing power of forgiveness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red, though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. We need to understand that not all illness is directly linked to personal sin. This was the mistake that Job's friends made when they kept accusing him of wrongdoing. In their minds, Job was suffering because he had somehow sinned. But be careful. Some of us blame ourselves mercilessly for our own pain. As an example, I was climbing in Scotland during the severe winter of 1992-3 and managed to slip and fall down a mountain in the Glenshee area. And having been evacuated by Air Sea Rescue helicopter to Aberdeen, I blame my injuries on my own carelessness. That's why I'm as daft as I am today. So-called friends like Job had need to break off and stop giving their perspective on why someone else is suffering. Jesus addressed this prevalent mindset when he was asked to explain why a certain man was blind. His disciples wanted to know whether the man had sinned or his parents. Jesus answered in John 9:3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And while there are some people who refuse to get any help because they want to trust God alone for their healing, do we not think that God often works his healing through doctors and other trained professionals? Remember that the bitter waters at Marah became better only when something had been added to them. God could have made them sweet apart from any other means, but he chose to use the wood. Likewise, God can heal with just a word from his mouth, but he uses other instruments as well. On the other hand, what King Asa did in the Old Testament is a warning to us. When he was sick, he didn't pray to God first, but instead tried to rely just on doctors. This is described in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. "Though his disease was severe, even in his illness he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from physicians." We also need the community of faith. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 describes what we should do when we are sick. "First of all, call for the senior members of the church and ask for prayer. If we suspect we have sinned, then we should pray for each other to confess and be put right with God. When you are hurting, you need the help of other strong, faithful believers." The cross of Christ is the source of healing. Jehovah Rapha, who heals in the Old Testament, is the Lord Jesus, who heals in the New. And don't miss the significance behind the wood from a tree providing sweetness to the bitter water. You could say that all our problems begin at a tree in the Garden of Eden, and our sin problem is resolved because another piece of wood was used to hold up our sin substitute on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And from the first book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 24, picks up this prophecy. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Only Jesus can sweeten the bitterness of life. He is the bondage breaker, as Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13 says, "I broke the bars of your yoke, enabled you to walk with heads held high." Whether you are hurting emotionally, physically, or spiritually, turn to the Lord who heals right now. Let's go back to Exodus 15 for a moment. After God made these sour waters sweet, He then led the Israelites to a place called Elim. We read in verse 27 that Elim had 12 springs and 70 palm trees. God led them to a place of plenty. Even if we are not cured, we can be healed by Jesus. He is both the wood and the living water, as he said in John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The only way to go from Mara to Elim is to turn to Jesus, who is our Jehovah Rapha. Amen.